Let's see now. I need to teach. I wonder what would be a good book. Ephesians, you want to? Let's go to Ephesians chapter 4 and also put a marker in Joshua chapter 10. Now, I don't know if it's available yet. If it's not yet, it probably soon will be, the teaching that Tim Stemple did, 8:30 Sunday morning. I don't know what the title will be, but you need to, as soon as that appears at ICTUS, well, you need to hear that message if you weren't here. Telling you, I'm going to do a brief summary, but I mean brief. I'm going to hit about 10%, if that much, of what he taught, and because I need it to launch into what the Holy Spirit's going to do tonight. And some of this, those of you that were at the Sunday night service, I touched on it some then, but we only had about 30 minutes, and we're going to go a little farther tonight. And I've been meditating on it, got a little bit more. So we'll start here in Ephesians 4. Now, one of the things, besides the revelation that's coming tonight, boy, if this is not a prime example of why you have to assimilate the books. As the teaching unfolds, you'll see. It's so obvious. This verse that we're about to look at is one that all my Christian life, there's always been still a scratching. You know, I've taught on it myself. I've read other people's comments on it. I've heard other people preach on it. And everything that it was okay. It was not like total error. But there's that itching, that scratching, whatever it is down on the inside that just says there's more. You don't really have it yet. You know, there's something there that you're missing. And when Tim, actually he stopped by my house 2 or 3 days before he taught it, just to bounce it off of me. Just like always, when you hear the truth and the light comes on, with me, it always explodes in both directions at once. All of a sudden, all these New Testament verses, all these Old Testament verses, they all come together and you go, yes! And the itching stops. And you go, that's it. And without a shadow of a doubt, that's it. And boy, once you know the truth, you are free, my friend. They can't manipulate you anymore with that verse. I don't care what they try. They can't drive it out of you with rifle butts once you know the truth. Well, so my goodness, Gary, after all that, what verse is it? It's Ephesians 4, verse 26. And I'll go ahead and read it and give the common understanding of it. It says, just out of context, like most people normally teach it, be you angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Well, what's the common teaching, the way I've understood it too? We're talking about in context here, putting off the old man, putting on the new man. Well, I know my old man was really an angry guy. He got short-tempered and carry a grudge for days, weeks, months, you know. And so the common teaching is, well, what you do, you know, okay, maybe you're angry. Jesus got angry. I always use that as an excuse. You know, he got angry and made a whip and drove him out. But you need to not let that last, you know, and before the sun goes down, if you've been in a spat with your wife or a friend, before your head hits the pillow that night, you need to make peace and don't let the sun set while you're still angry. And that's pretty well the common teaching. That's pretty well the way I taught it. Well, Tim comes by my house. He says, Gary, what do you understand about that verse? And I said what I just said to you, boldly displaying my ignorance. He just sat there real nice about it. And he mentioned, he said, you know, the teaching you did the other day, Gary, he said, I saw that you were still angry. Because I was saying things like, look, I'm not interested in finishing the book of Ephesians. I'm interested in walking in the book of Ephesians. I'm still angry over the ones we've lost to cancer and all kinds of diseases when the word plainly tells us that we've been seated with Christ Jesus far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that's named, and I'm tired of being pushed around by cancer. Y'all remember that service? He says, you were still angry, weren't you? I said, I still am. I'm still angry about it. He said, you know who else was angry in the Old Testament? He said, who was it that commanded the sun not to set? That's all he really had to say. Now, he went ahead and taught me the rest of it, but as soon as he said that, I went, that was Joshua. That was Joshua. He commanded the Son not to set until he avenged himself upon his enemies. I said, oh my God, how many times have I said the book of Ephesians is the New Testament parallel to the Old Testament book of Joshua? How in the world could I? You know, I try not to get jealous. And I'm going, God, why'd you show it to Tim first, you know? And I said, Tim, you've got to teach this. I don't know how long I can contain. I don't know how long I can hold that in. Once I know it, my goodness. Well, I went back and I said, see, that's what, once you see, did your spirit not jump right there? Don't let the sun go down upon your wrath. And what he's really talking about in the context here is putting off that old man. Put him off. Put on the new man. We just read that like, okay, just put him off. No matter that you've been an alcoholic or a drug addict or a lazy person that wouldn't keep a job your whole life, you know, just stop that. And live righteous and holy now and just walk sober and you know, be a responsible person. And yeah, there's no warfare involved with that at all. Well, see, the whole type and shadow from the Old Testament, what is that promised land? What is that a type of? That is the abundant life that we're supposed to be living. It is the Christ life, how we live by this new man, according to a new law, the law of the Spirit of life that's in Christ Jesus. The whole type and shadow is, it's a war, buddy. All those strongholds, what is that? Man, it's whatever is in you that's not like Christ. It's, you know, if you're lazy, don't want to get a job, living off other people. He talks about that in that same chapter. Man, that's a stronghold. Most people just can't flip a switch and turn that overnight, you know. There's a warfare involved with me. One of my big strongholds was smoking. I smoked for eternity in 3 days after I got saved. You know, and a lot of these other things left right away. But man, that was a stronghold I dealt with for years and years and years. And be honest with you, I mean, I guess I made peace with it to some degree for a long time because I didn't know what else to do. I'd done everything I knew. I don't mention any names. I'd listen to certain ministers say, I've used the name of Jesus. I'd lay my hands on these smokers. I'd break the power over it. And I'd command that the next time they smoked one, they'd get sick. I'd purposely go to their meetings and get in their lines. I've had them stomp on my lighters, smash. Well, I wouldn't take my cigarettes in there. You know. Too holy for that. But I've had them stomp on my lighters, throw them away, have to stop on the way home, quick trip, buy another lighter, you know. Didn't do anything. No, there was a stronghold in me that had to be torn down. There's a warfare involved, see. Well, part of this anger, what he's talking about here is, see, all those ites in the that were living in the promise, it's your land. I have given you this land. Everywhere that the sole of your foot shall tread, I have given it unto you. Yeah, but here comes the yeah, buts. Yeah, but there's the Canaanites and the Amorites and the Hittites and all these others, and the sons of Anak live there. What's that type and shadow of? That's, buddy, that's the part of you that is not yet renewed to the image of God. It is strongholds. It is long-standing character flaws, things. It's not just the appetites of the flesh. It's every unrenewed part of our soul, not just the intellect, including the emotions. And put off the old man. Sounds like flip a switch. No. The type in the shadow is the Old Testament. It's Joshua. But there's a warfare involved. And he's trying to teach us here part of that warfare. We're going to look at it now. So let's look at Ephesians 4. And let's look at the verse in context. Make sure we understand what he's talking about when he comes to that verse. I want to back all the way up to verse 17 here. Now, you know we've already been through chapters 1, 2, 3, where he said all these wonderful things. You know, to these very people, he says, God, because of his great love for you, he quickened you together with Christ. He raised you up together with Christ. You have been seated together in Christ. He says all these wonderful things. And then over here, though, in verse 17 of chapter 4, he says, now, I'm telling you guys, henceforth, I want you not to walk as the other Gentiles walk. In other words, just because that's true from God's point of view, see, he's already blessed you with every spiritual blessing, meaning he's finished his part. He's done what he has to do to make this possible. And he has done all of those things that I said to you, but it's really going to be up to you how much of it you walk in. He says, I'm testifying, don't walk like the other Gentiles walk. Well, how do they walk? He says, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart, who, being past feeling, have given themselves over unto the Amorites. You see it? It says lasciviousness, Hittites, to work all uncleanness with greediness. All of those ites that were in the land, those are types and shadows of these kind of things. I'll tell you a really dangerous prayer. I was reading through Hebrews and where it talks about Jesus who loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Hated iniquity. A few months ago I was reading that and I was going, God, I don't hate it enough. I'm free from a lot of it. You know, I mean, I'm not an alcoholic anymore. I thank God for that. And a lot of things, you know, greediness. I remember when my whole life was bound down before money. I remember that. I just can't be motivated by it anymore. I've even tried. Sometimes I think I need a little more of that. But something died in me. I can't revive it. He's dead. But there's other areas in my life. Gary, you going to tell us what they are? Not on your best day. I'm not asking you about your stuff. But there's other areas in my life that I'm free, but I don't hate it. And if he hated iniquity, I might be neutral to it. But I asked God, I said, God, if I'm going to be more like Jesus, I'm asking you, bring me to a place where I hate it like he does. I want to hate iniquity like you do. You know, the day I prayed that, it didn't seem like anything happened. But now as I look back over these last few months, you know, it's the hardest thing for me to come here and teach you tonight because it's like a microscope has been put on any area of my flesh. And myself, I feel like the biggest sheep-eating dog that ever walked up to a pulpit. And, you know, most unworthy, because it's like things that didn't even used to ever bother me. You know, now all of a sudden, and it finally dawned on me, oh God, he's answering my prayer. And it brings you to new impasses you haven't been at before. And things that you didn't even realize in you. And I'm going, oh God, I need to hate that. Well, anyway, he says, verse 19, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness. Yes, sir. Now, the reason I said all that is this. I'm going through a war, too. We're all going through a transformation process. Now, this is deep calleth unto deep. You know we're headed eventually. We're going to live in Ephesians 6, where we put on the whole armor of God. We stand against every wile of the devil. We take the sword of the Spirit, praying always with all prayer, and we're going to empty out some hospitals. You got that? But now here's deep calleth unto deep. Ephesians chapter 4 comes before Ephesians chapter 6. And he's trying to deal with us here in 4 to prepare us so we can walk in Ephesians chapter 6. Well, in this chapter here, he says, verse 19, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. Now, we just stop for a moment. This is not rocket science, okay? Have y'all ever heard of any greedy preachers? Now, does that mean they're not saved? Of course they're saved. I mean, they haven't, as long as they don't mess with the foundation, which is the blood of Christ, Christ crucified. You know, even Ananias and Sapphira, they didn't deny Christ. They wound up in heaven. Now, they paid a heavy judgment in their flesh, but they didn't ever deny Jesus. You got that? Greedy preachers? Greedy anything? Well, it's just an Amorite. It's a Hittite. That particular, okay, yours might be something else. Maybe you have internet fingers. Maybe, you know, you sneak out and have a drink, have a smoke. I don't know. Still flirtatious? Flirtatious, is that a word? Although you're married? I don't know. Married but don't dress like it? I don't know. Just trying to think of some things, you know. Well, it doesn't mean you're not saved. It doesn't mean you're not on your way to heaven. But see, any ites that remain in the land, Sue said something the other day, just the way she worded it was really good. She said, you do know that the devil, in the same way that the Holy Spirit takes hold together with us against our infirmities, you do realize that demons take hold together against you using those infirmities. See? You still got a little, got an Amorite of greed in there? Got a little Amorite of greed. Hittite. Well, that's the flaw. That's where the temptation's going to come, because it's an avenue that the devil says, Dave used to call them handles. That'd be another good way to put it. It's a handle. He's looking for a handle, some way he can grab hold of you and turn you. Well, those are Hittites, Amorites, Canaanites, things that have not yet been purged out of the land. You got that? All right, so that's why he's coming down here. He's talking about this. He says, but you have not so learned Christ. If so, you've heard him and been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus. Now here it is, that you put off, just put him off, concerning the former conversation, the old man, just put him off. Doesn't it sound easy? Which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man. What is the subject here? Put off the old man, put on the new man. Could I use Old Testament? Drive out the enemy, drive out the old man, and possess the land, the new man in Christ. Walk like him. Okay, type and shadow. So he says, be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that you put on the new man, which after God is created. See, that he really is in there. If you're born again, there is a new creature on the inside of you that is created in righteousness and true holiness. Now, he might be stifled right now. You may not have possessed very much righteousness yet, but that doesn't mean it isn't in there. And the potential to walk in it is in you. Okay? And then he starts getting into specifics. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor. For we are members one of another. And here's the verse. Be you angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Neither give place to the devil. That's important to have that part right there. Now, keep your place there and go back to Joshua 10. Now, let me give you a brief history. What's up to this point? They have crossed over into the promised land. They came up against Jericho first, was his first stronghold. Joshua received precise instruction from the Lord what to do. They didn't just run up there and attack it like most people would. And the instructions sounded foolish. Okay, you see that fortified city? Yes, it's a very fortified city. It's right here at the entrance to the promised land. It's there on purpose to keep out invaders. The walls are thick. Okay, what are we going to do? Well, right in the sight of them, we're going to circumcise all of our fighting men. It's one thing to circumcise a baby. They say to circumcise a full-grown man, that's going to incapacitate him for about a week. Okay? In the natural, that makes no sense at all. Come up right in the sight of your enemy and circumcise all your fighting men. Well, that makes no sense. Then, well, how about these other instructions? Now, I want you to get these, I want you to storm the walls, build ladders, and climb over the walls. And that's the kind of stuff we'd do. Is that what the Lord said? No, I want you to march around the city and keep your mouth shut. And then march around it again, march it around it again. And on the last day, march it around it 7 times. Well, sure, every army fights that way, don't they? I mean, that makes no sense in the natural. But Joshua received instruction. They did it. The walls fell down flat. You know the story. But see, there was another instruction there, and that was in that first battle, the Lord says, all the spoil is mine. Don't keep any of it for yourself. See, that's going to mess with your tithing doctrine right off the get-go. Okay? There's times when the Lord says, all of it's mine. I've had him do it many times. All of it's mine. Okay? Well, Achan, he kept back just a few things. It wasn't a whole lot, just a few little things. Hid it in the ground under his tent. Little money, I think an outfit or two or something. Anyway, he hid it. Well, so now there's sin in the camp. But there was another problem. They got so overconfident after they won that first victory. It says they didn't even ask the Lord. They just went over to Ai, and they looked at that city, and they looked back at Jericho, and they said, well, did you see what we did at Jericho? Did you see that? The total victory? They didn't even ask the Lord for a strategy. And they said, oh, we don't need to take the whole army up there. Just give us a few thousand men. We'll go up there and we'll slaughter those AIs because now we're something. So they go up there and they get their britches whipped off of them. And I mean, you know, and I'm doing this real quick, but you know, these were friends of Joshua. These were men under him, and they got killed. And he didn't understand what was going on. Well, there was two problems there. Number one, they didn't ask the Lord for a strategy. Number two, there was sin in the camp. Well, the Lord helps Joshua understand, helps him locate where the sin is. And you think, well, boy, it just seemed like a minor infraction. Mm-hmm. Not only did the man who disobeyed the Lord, not only did Achan die, his whole family died. His donkeys died. Everything. And they put a big heap of stones over it. We don't look at sin the same way he does. But if we think we're going to win this promise, and if we think we're going to win this battle and walk in what we want to walk in by disobeying the Lord and not asking for his counsel, we have got another thing coming. Okay? All right? Going to the next city. Well, they did inquire of the Lord after they dealt with the sin in the camp. Got the battle plan, sure enough. They went on, and they conquered Ai. So far, so good, yes? All right? Well, when the Gibeonites, people that lived in Gibeon, and Gibeon was a big city. It was a lot bigger than Ai. When they saw what was going on, man, Jericho's already fallen. Ai's already fallen. We're going to be next. They come up with a strategy. Now, you remember part of our lesson in Ephesians says that we may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Let's say strategies of the devil. Here we get an example of a strategy of the devil. They say what they did. See, because the instruction to Joshua was don't leave any of the Ites alive. You kill them all. Make no treaties, make no agreements with any of them. Just kill them all, drive them out. What is that a type of? God wants us holy, completely holy. Not a life of compromise. He wants us holy and drive out every Ite. We'll get to that here in a minute. Well, these Gibeonites, they saw what was happening. So they set about to deceive Joshua and the rest of the men. So what they did, they pretended like they had come from another country, a whole other country. They took old moldy bread and put it in their satchels, and they put on old clothes, and they got old wineskins that looks like the been weathered a long time. And so when they showed up, Joshua says, you're probably neighbors. We probably have to kill you. And they said, oh no, we're from a whole nother country. Look at our bread. This bread was fresh out of the oven the day we left. And look how old and moldy it is now. Look at these wineskins. Look at our clothes. We've been journeying for a long, long time to get here. We're not part of this land. Now get this. So Joshua and his men, they saw with their eyes. They heard with their ears. They made a decision, and again it says, they did not inquire at the mouth of the Lord. They just made a decision based on what they saw, based on what they were told. And they said, well, this must be true. So they went ahead and made peace with these people and signed some kind of a treaty, made some kind of agreement with them. All right, we're not going to attack you, and not only are we not going to attack you, we'll defend you. Now see, later on, they found out it was a lie. And boy, he was upset. Now see, most of us today, we would just throw our agreement out the window. But God says the man that he honors is a man who swears to his own hurt and changes not. You know why? God's that way. He will not alter the thing that has gone out of his mouth. Once he says it, that is the way it is. So they'd made this agreement with the Gibeonites, and it could not be changed. So, sure enough, they're going to defend them and not attack them. But he says, I'm going to make you servants in the house of my God. You're going to be carriers of water and carriers of wood. You're going to serve my God. If you're going to live in this land, you're going to serve my God. But now they made that mistake. Now it's important that you understand in the context here, how were they deceived by the devil? By seeing with the eyes, hearing with their ears, making a decision without inquiring at the mouth of the Lord. Now, we're finally up to chapter 10. I'm not even going to try and pronounce a lot of these names. So now it came to pass when that guy, king of Jerusalem, had heard how Joshua had taken Ai and had utterly destroyed it, And as he had done to Jericho and her king, so he had done to Ai and her king, and how the inhabitants of Gibeon had made peace with Israel and were among them, that they feared greatly, because Gibeon was a great city, as one of the royal cities, and because it was greater than Ai, and all the men thereof were mighty, whereof that king of Jerusalem he sent unto that other king of Hebron, and unto that guy of Jarmuth, and unto this other one of Lachish, and that one's easy, unto Debir, I think, king of Eglon, saying, come up with me, and help me that we may smite Gibeon, for it has made peace with Joshua and with the children of Israel. Therefore the how many kings? That's not, nothing in the Bible is by accident. Therefore the five kings of the Amorites. Now here we go. The king of Jerusalem, the king of Hebron, the king of Jarmuth, the king of Lachish, the king of Eglon, gathered themselves up together, and they went up, they and all their hosts, and they encamped before Gibeon and made war against it. And the men of Gibeon sent unto Joshua to the camp at Gilgal, saying, slack not thy hand from thy servants, come up to us quickly and save us and help us, for all the kings of the Amorites that dwell in the mountains are gathered together against us. So Joshua ascended from Gilgal, he and all the people of war with him, and all the mighty men of valor. And the Lord said unto Joshua, fear them not. Now see, he's listening at the mouth of the Lord. He's learned a few things. He made that mistake there in the previous chapter with these Gibeonites. He's learning. He's going, okay, I'm going to listen at the mouth of the Lord before I do anything. Well, the Lord said unto him, fear them not. I have delivered them into thine hand. There shall not a man of them stand before thee. Now, you need to understand right now, we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. You're wrestling against principalities and powers and rulers of darkness and wicked spirits in high places. And what they're using in you is strongholds that have not yet been torn down. They're using those things against you. That's how you're tempted. That's how the pressure comes. Not to believe the word. You see what I'm saying? Alright? He says no. He says to Joshua, no man will be able to stand before you. You need to get it straight. No demon is ever going to be able to stand in front of you. We're wrestling against principalities and powers. If he said to Joshua, no man will stand before you, listen, no demon's going to be able to stand before you. You've been seated far above them. Now we need to start understanding that. But it doesn't mean there's not going to be a war. Now watch this. So Joshua therefore came unto them suddenly and went up from Gilgal all night. And the Lord discomforted them before Israel. See, you're not in this fight alone. It's you and the Holy Ghost. You are the agent of authority. The Holy Ghost is the agent of power. And I want you to notice this warfare, God's involved in this. And the Lord discomforted them before Israel and slew them with a great slaughter at Gibeon and chased them along the way that goes up to Beth Horon and smote them to Azekah and unto that place. And it came to pass as they fled from before Israel. Now get this, they're running away. They're winning. This is, you're over the hump. You've got the enemy on the run. Ah, the pressure's off. And that's where most of us say, that's where we quit. Now watch what happens. Watch the wiles of the devil here. Look what the devil's trying to do. He can tell he's been beaten. So he's trying to run off home and hide. Watch this. So it came to pass as they fled from before Israel and were in the coming down to Beth Horon that the Lord cast down great stones from heaven upon them to Azekah, and they died. There were more which died with hailstones than they which the children of Israel slew with the sword. Don't ever forget, the Holy Ghost is working with you. Then spake Joshua to the Lord in the day when the Lord delivered up the Amorites before the children of Israel. And he said in the sight of Israel, son, stand thou still upon Gibeon and moon in the valley of Ajalon. And the sun stood still and the moon stayed until the people had avenged themselves upon their enemies. Is not this written in the book of Jasher? So the sun stood still in the midst of heaven and hasted not to go down about a whole day. And there was no day like it before it or after it that the Lord hearkened unto the voice of a man, for the Lord fought for Israel. Now the enemy's on the run. Joshua doesn't say, let him go. He says, he didn't let his anger stop just at that victory. He says, we're not going to stop until we've killed them all. I've been asking the Lord, I want to hate iniquity. Anything in me that still even tolerates it, anything that's even neutral to it, I want that to die. I want to hate it like you hate it. See? All right. Now let's go on with the story just for a moment. Can you tell that Joshua, this is the type and shadow from over there, put off the old man? That's the Amorites and the Hittites and the Canaanites. That's all the people. That's type and shadow of anything in us that's got to die. Joshua says, I'm not letting my anger stop. Son, don't you even set till we have complete victory. Now let's watch the enemy. Let's go on a little further here. Verse 15, Joshua returned and all Israel with him unto the camp to Gilgal. But these five kings fled and hid themselves in a cave at Makkedah. And it was told Joshua, saying, the five kings are found hid in a cave at Makkedah. Now we're going to come back to this. This is really important. And Joshua said, roll great stones upon the mouth of the cave and set men by it for to keep them. And stay you not, but pursue after your enemies and smite the hindmost of them. Don't let them enter into their cities. Don't let them go hide. Don't let them return dormant in you. For the Lord hath delivered them into your hand. And it came to pass when Joshua and the children of Israel had made an end of slaying them with a very great slaughter till they were consumed. That's what I want. Anything in me that still likes iniquity, anything in me that still is not like Jesus, I want it consumed. I want to hate iniquity like he hates it. I want to be free like he's free. I want to walk like he walked, talk like he talked, act like he acted, had the same results he had. Well, there's still more change got to happen. And it's a warfare. And I've got to pursue after my enemies and not let them just return to their homes and go dormant and hide until the next time I'm in a battle. All right, let's keep going here now. With a great, very great slaughter till they were consumed, that the rest which remained of them entered into their fenced cities. So some of them did get away. But all the people returned to the camp to Joshua at Makkedah in peace. None moved his tongue against any of the children of Israel. Then said Joshua, open the mouth of the cave and bring out those five kings unto me out of the cave. And they did so and brought forth those five kings unto him out of the cave. The king of Jerusalem, the king of Hebron, the king of Jarmuth, the king of Lachish, and the king of Eglon. And it came to pass when they brought out those kings unto Joshua, that Joshua called for all the men of Israel and said unto the captains of the men of war which went with him, now get this. Come near. Put your feet upon the necks of those kings. And they came near and they put their feet upon the necks of them. Just for a moment, close your eyes. I want you to see yourself with your foot on the neck of any demon that would oppose you. I don't care if it's got a name like cancer. I don't care if it's got a name like poverty. I don't care if it's got a name perversion of any kind. I don't care what it is. Get the picture. You're the one in charge here. You've got your feet on that devil's neck. From God's point of view, you're the victor. You got that? Now watch this. That wasn't enough though, even then. And they came near and they put their feet upon the necks of them. And Joshua said unto them, fear not, nor be dismayed. Be strong and of a good courage. For thus shall the Lord do to all your enemies against whom you fight. And afterward, Joshua smote them and slew them and hanged them on five trees. Notice five. And they were hanging upon the trees until the evening. And it came to pass at the time of the going down of the sun that Joshua commanded, and they took them down off the trees and cast them into the cave wherein they had been hid, and laid great stones in the cave's mouth, which remain until this very day. Now, we're talking about putting off the old man and putting on the new. Go back to it. We probably won't be back here. I'll mention it, but Ephesians 4. We're talking about put off the old man, put on the new man. Verse 24. which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. And you notice the first thing he talks about is your mouth. Did you see that? Wherefore, putting away lying. The very first thing he talks about is your mouth. Those five kings, that number five is not in there by accident. When you're in a war, how many senses do you have? Five physical senses. The eye gate, the ear gate, the smelling, the hearing. There's five physical senses. And in the previous chapter, they just got through being deceived by the devil by seeing with the eye, hearing with the ear, and making a decision based on what their five physical senses told them. You know why it says over there in Ephesians, you got to stop lying? Listen, those five kings represent your five physical senses, and when you're going to go to war against your flesh, you're going to have to do to those five senses the same thing Joshua did to those kings. How much more of a picture could God draw for us? Take those five senses, put them in a cave, and it actually mentions the mouth of the cave. It doesn't just say a cave. They rolled great stones over the mouth of the cave. A big part of your warfare is stop saying you can't. Well, I know the Bible says I can live righteous, but I just can't live that way. Stop it! Put a boulder over that mouth. Stop it! Quit lying. I'm not lying. That's how I am. You are God one's lying. No, he's telling the truth from his side of the equation. He's telling the truth from the realm of the spirit. You're over there with the sense man speaking lies against God. He says, you're holy. And you're going, no, I'm not. I did it for years. I'd read Romans 6, tells you, you're free from sin, you're free from sin. Puff, puff, puff. You're free from sin, you're free from sin. Sound like a choo-choo train. Puff, puff, puff. You're free from sin, you're free from sin. But all my physical senses, all of them, said otherwise. That everything in me was, I mean, the withdrawals anytime I'd try and quit was just terrible. I mean, and so I got five kings screaming, going to war against me, and my mouth, and I don't know, I just can't quit. Liar! Gary, you're a liar the whole time. You're lying, you got to stop that. Put a boulder over your pie hole. Anyway, that thing you eat pie with, put a boulder in front of that thing. Shut your pie hole is the way we used to say it. Stop it. That's the reason he says putting away lying. You're not ever going to get victory if you allow those kings to keep speaking. Just saying what you feel and all of the five. You know, Jude, the message 101, room 101, when you start learning the message, is you can rise above a sense-dominated life. How would you do that? Well, he says, praying in the Holy Ghost. You know, you can praying in the Holy Ghost. You won't be like that. You won't be sense-dominated. He's going to start teaching you how to rise above a sense. Now, God gave us our five physical senses, and when you keep them in the right place, they're good. It's mainly to navigate in a physical world. I like this illustration. Everybody can understand it. If you're about to step off the curb into the street, and you look coming down the street, and your eyes tell you there's a bus coming right at you. God gave you your senses to have enough to see the bus. Do not step in front of the bus. That's the reason he gave us our five physical senses, to navigate in this world. But if you're going to try and do spiritual warfare, the just shall live by faith and not by sight. And I mean, you're not going to win this thing if those kings keep talking to you, and especially if you allow it to speak through you. Yeah. See, there's a great authority. When you speak words, you have what you say. And you're always saying, I can't, I wish I could, I can't, I know how I am, that's just the way I am, I can't change, I this, I that, and it doesn't matter what it is. We could pick anything. I can't. Well, you just lied. You're God once lied. Didn't he just tell you in chapter 2, we're seated far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that's named, and we're seated with him? And you're a child of, you're a member of the species of light now. You're not even a child of Adam with a sin nature anymore. Yeah, but I can't quit. I can't quit smoking. My grandparents' day. Let's go great-grandparents. I can't stop dipping that snuff. Or whatever it is. Can't quit gossiping. I'm going to get you. I'm going to keep on with enough stuff till I get you. I can't. I can't fast. Boy. A little mean. I'm going to go over this part over here. A little vicious over on that section. Why is that in that Joshua? Number one, it's time to not let the sun go down anymore. And what he means by that is let's quit making truces with the enemy. Those strongholds that, hey, at this point in my life, he's already shown me strongholds. Some of them I've dealt with, some of them I haven't dealt with. But at this point, the problem is not that I don't know what they are. Now, there might still be some that I don't know. I'm talking about the ones I already know about. Gary, are you going to war? Yes. I'll probably give the same answer. When? Tomorrow. Excuse me. Tomorrow. Uh-huh. Well, and then tomorrow. When are you going to war? Well, tomorrow. And then a year goes by. And at my age now, a decade goes by. So, if you're really serious about being angry now, stay angry. I want to stay angry. I'm tired of being complacent. I'm tired of praying and not seeing the little... seeing the eye, you know, seeing those crippled kids get out of the wheelchair, not seeing the blind. See, I'm so tired of that complacency. I don't want to just get comfortable and lose another decade. The message is let's get angry, stay angry, go to war against anything in us that the enemy is using to stop us from fully possessing the land. And just little victories isn't enough. We need to command the sun not to go down until we drive them clear out. We need to drive them out. Hey, when I was going through the withdrawals on the smoking, hey, the kings were alive. I'm telling you right now. They may have been in the cave. They were shouting and screaming. They were fully alive. I'm telling you right now. But see, the day came. Eventually, they got hung on a tree. Yeah. I'll tell you again, in the process of doing some moving over the last month. Y'all know I was an alcoholic for about 10 years before I got saved. I mean, I used to break out literally in a cold sweat if I just knew I was in a room where there was no booze, where I had no access. I would start, I mean, it was bad. Well, but I haven't had a drink now, an alcoholic drink, since 1980. What, this 2009? That's a fair piece. In the early days, though, I still remember, even from that, The pressure would come. Oh, I remember. I would hear certain songs like "Long Train Running" by the Doobie Brothers. I used to get drunk to that song all the time, and I would, for years later after I quit drinking, I could just hear that anywhere, like in a mall, anywhere. I could taste the bourbon and coke in my mouth. Just conditioning. I never did go act on it, but it was still there. During this move here in this last month. Hand me a box, put it on the truck. Hand me a box, put it on the truck. Somebody handed me an unopened full half gallon of vodka. And I'm looking at that and I had to laugh. No temptation at all. There was a time that would have gone right in the trunk of my car. You know what I'm saying? And I'm going, that king is really dead. He's really dead. It's not a war anymore. I'm not going to let him get raised from the dead either. You're not going to mess around with it either. But the king is dead. Well, what do? You notice first, they shut them up where they couldn't talk. Shut them up. See, when you're going through pain, when you're going through things, I don't know how you can avoid the input from the five physical senses, but you can put a boulder over your mouth. You can stop speaking in agreement with those senses. If you can do that, then you can keep on until you get total victory. And eventually, you'll hang that king on a tree. And it won't even be a hindrance or bother to you anymore. Amen? Now see, be you angry and sin not. Yes, sir. And now I understand why the next verse in Ephesians is in there, that next little statement. Be you angry and sin not. In other words, stay angry. Angry about what? Any part of that old man that's still alive in you, stay angry. Don't let the sun go down in your warfare till you put that old man to death. And then neither give place to the devil. That's the perfect type from Joshua chapter 10. Just because you got the devil on the run, don't stop now. Don't give him any place. Stay angry. Keep a boulder over your mouth. Don't be speaking in agreement with those five kings. And you keep pursuing the enemy until you finally put it to death. Give no place in you to the devil. See, Jesus said, the prince of this world's coming, but he has nothing in me. He has nothing in me. We can come to the place where he has nothing in us. We can do it. The Bible says we can do it. So let's be angry and not sin by giving up. Let's be angry and drive every bit of unbelief out of us until we avenge ourselves upon the enemy. Amen? Amen. Did you get that? Now, do you understand what your pie hole is? It's where you eat pie. Okay? You got to put a boulder over the mouth. Don't give the five physical senses power over you by speaking opposite to God's word. All right. Father, I thank you for this. Father, I know you're bringing us one step at a time into the fullness of this so that we can apprehend that for which you apprehended us. Father, you've given us assignment to this church. We know exactly what you've called us to do. To go far enough into you to bring a supernatural revival to a religious city. Father, we're asking now. Some of us, we need that anger stirred up again, Lord. Some of us, we've lived with our strongholds for so long. Father, they become very familiar to us. Father, stir up your anger. I'm praying for this whole church, Father. Father, myself and this whole church and everyone listening. Father, bring us to the place where we hate iniquity like you hated. Where we hate it like you hated. Where we hate it like Jesus hated it. Bring us to that place. And Father, help us drive out. We know you are helping us drive out everything in us that is not of you. So that we can have that same testimony. The devil, he has nothing in me. He has no place in me whatsoever. We give the devil no place. We thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. And if you agree, say amen. Amen. Amen.